Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Okay, cool.
Woo!
I'm standing today.
Shoved the sandwich down my gullet. I'm good.
I can see.
Oh, look at you standing.
I got my new monitor mounts in, and they can now finally go high enough without the desk having to be too high. And yeah, I'm ready. You guys ready?
Let's do
it.
I
wish I could do a standing desk in here. You know, it's funny when you said I'm standing today. I thought you were gonna. Oh, you're doing the thing. I didn't say I was ready. I thought you were gonna. I thought we were talking about something else. Anyway.
You're doing great, John.
Do the finger. Finger me again. I'll be ready this time. Hello, and welcome to Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast, the premier flagship and internacional podcast at LRM Online. I'm your host, Brandon Jones, and on this week's podcast, we got Nick and Jammer. Gents, what's going on?
Yo! Yo! Whoa.
Ooh, we got a double yo. Double yo.
Both more enthusiastic than normal. Wow.
That's exciting. I got sleep four days in a row. You guys can be enthusiastic when I'm hosting. Be like, oh, yeah. So you should be react.
Jonesy's awesome. Here. Yeah.
I'm here. Danny's out this week. But, of course, we got Kyle on the ones and twos. I'm giving notes to Jammer. Get your finger out of my face, Jammer. All right. We have several stories for you all today. I want to start off by, you know, there was a terrible earthquake in Turkey that happened this week. So if you know folks that are affected or if you were affected, hearts go out to you because that was horrific. Over 10,000 dead.
Yeah. I think it's over 20,000. It's over 20,000 right now.
So is it over 20,000? Yeah. So the last time I looked, it was much less. So, you know, if you have the capacity to help, please do so because people are struggling right now and it's pretty awful. So. Again, hearts go out to you all. I'm here today on the show mostly because I hear tell there's the possibility we might get a Fast and Furious trailer. That's the only reason I came today. if we could do like a live thing, I'd be so excited. That's all I care about.
I'll be Fast and Furious watch. I'll be on the YouTube.
You do the thing.
Just ready. Just slap that refresh.
We don't have a movie this week. All the air has been sucked out of the room by Ant-Man Quantumania. Everybody's trying to get the fuck out of the way, right? Nobody wants to be in the way of this Jonathan Majors Kang-style storm. If you are interested in getting LRM's initial impressions, Manny was on the Daily Cog with Kyle and gave his initial impressions. Spoiler-free, right? Spoiler-free? Spoiler-free. That's the way we like to be. And so if you're interested in getting like a little dose of how Ant-Man 3/Quantumania is going to be, go check it out there. And then you can come back next week. We're going to give you our full spoiler-free review of Ant-Man Quantumania.
Funny story about that. Right? What was that?
Oh.
I was going to say, funny story about that, that Manny reaction to Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania. Dude graded it and he wasn't supposed to, so he had to take it down for a day and edit it up and get it back up. So yeah, you guys can hear it now though. Grade free.
That reminds me of the first time I went to Comic-Con with Manny, and he's told me this a couple of times. He's like, oh yeah, I got some footage from this thing. I was like, awesome, let me see. It's fucking vertical. The video was vertical. And I was like, Manny, you need to do it this way. And then so the next year came around and he's like, yo, I remember what happened last year. And then like I was in the middle of recording something and I thought, no, Jammer's going to yell at me. He's like, but naturally I just went like this. And then I was like, wait. and he tilted it. I was like, okay, good. I'm glad you learned. And it's funny jokes on me now because Manny's now like a professional actual camera person.
That's what he does.
Yeah. In the business. So it's just funny for me.
No, no, it's not the jokes. Manny. You inspired him. You did
that. I inspired him. It's solely because of me.
You take credit for that.
I take all the credit for his success. None of his, you know, sleepless nights.
Coach, teach, mentor, Joseph Jammer Medina. You heard it here, folks.
It's what I do be. It's what I do be do. My camera doesn't want to stay down.
And we're doing Who Watches, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Because I want to hear your thoughts about Velma, since you said the Scooby Dooby Dooby Doo. But before that, we're going to talk about Disney. Disney is having an interesting time right now. So they had their earnings call, and it was very interesting because we had Bob Chapek, who was unceremoniously ousted for reasons, and they brought back the other Bob, right? So now we've got Bob Iger back in seat, and his first order of business for this new earnings call was to highlight the fact that the park's back, baby. So in a post-COVID world, everybody's like, hey, get me the fuck out of the house, get me out of these masks, and I want to go to Disney World and build those memories and all this other stuff. So their revenue for the park, super strong, doing really well. Downside, though, is that they have lost net 2.4 million subscribers in the last 3 months from Disney Plus. And that's kind of a huge loss. But they're still doing pretty well in the streaming wars. And it seems like if you look at the numbers, one of the big issues that they're having right now is the fact that in an economy where the expectation is growth, 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 at some point things are going to flatten out. At some point you're going to lose some stuff. So that's what's going on. And to try to, I was going to say level above, but I hate that phrase, to try to fix what's happening there, they are going to cut some folks. They're going to cut up to 7,000 people just to try to fix that. They're also going to reach into their toy bag, and they're going to grab a bunch of old franchises and bring them back and to revitalize and make up those operating losses. So Toy Story 5, Frozen 3, Zootopia 2, to try to fix some of these numbers. I've got to say, I'm going to jump in and start by saying, at least from the movie front, the ones that they announced, like, I am deathly afraid of Toy Story, right? I feel like every sequel we've gotten to this has been unnecessary, but somehow has worked out in their favor. I'm like, man, Toy Story 3, that was a perfect ending. Toy Story 4, that was a perfect ending. And they're like, you know what? We're going to come back. We're going to keep rolling those dice, baby.
I thought you were having a different gesture there for a second. But
they might as well be, right? They're just splooging on the wall.
But yeah, I'm with you. Like, it's I've given up doubting Toy Story. No matter what, like, you can't doubt Toy Story. Like, okay, maybe I'm wrong this one time again, but they've proven time and again that there is more to tell in these toy stories. And from the sound of it, we haven't heard Tom Hanks say anything. It sounds like only Tim Allen is coming back. I mean, among others, that core group of Toy Stories apart from Woody. So, I mean, there's more for him to say. Like, last time we left off with Woody was that he basically learned, you know what? I'm an empty nester. I'm going to start living for myself. And I'm wondering if we can't have the same journey for him. But, you know, there's clearly everyone else was a step behind him in that sort of personal journey. And I'm just wondering where that leaves them. Where does that leave them to go? That's not a repeat of what came before. But, you know, we'll see.
I feel like
McDowell, what you got?
That comes. Yeah. And that's, I mean, and Tim Allen did tweet, like, have a tweet that referenced Woody. Whereas I can't wait to like see that sad, strange little man again, you know, like the Buzz line.
But he has no shit.
No, I know that too. And the other thing, the other movie, Toy Story 4, was basically Woody. Like, if that was the X-Men franchise, you would have called that movie Woody. Yeah, that was the Logan of the Toy Story franchise. So I don't know, and that also worries me because the last movie they made focusing on Lightyear underperformed considerably. So Toy Story 4 doesn't sound like
redemption. You think it's different? Redemption arc.
Do you think if they had called that Toy Story Lightyear, it would have made more money or something?
No,
or do you
think it's because they replaced
it? No.
It was the story. Yeah, it was confusing. It was confusing.
I don't even think it was confusing. It just wasn't a good movie.
I thought it was fine. I enjoyed it.
It was fine, but yeah, it's not as good as the other Toy Stories.
Being just fine is not good, right? Those are.
I thought the first half was really great. I thought the first half was great, and then it kind of went eh from there.
And then the last thing I'll say is maybe this is what they fixed. They got rid of woke Chris Evans and brought back good old Tim Allen for the role of like.
Here's a better question. Do you think that it would have done better had Tim Allen voiced Lightyear?
No. Made zero difference. No.
Interesting. I'm wondering if the nostalgia factor would have gotten more people in. Yeah, I think there are more people.
Actors don't sell movies. I'm sorry to say it. Tarantino is right. Actors don't sell movies, especially animated ones.
No, but I think when it comes to animated ones, there are parents who grew up with this franchise who would be more inclined to want to take their kids to see
it. I guarantee you the same people who care enough about that aren't going to know the research to know, oh, is that Tim Allen? Is that not Tim Allen? Fuck, I'm only going because of Tim Allen.
I don't know. I'm really curious. I'm curious about that.
I don't think it would have done better. I think
as I think about Lightyear,
I just don't think about Lightyear,
they were clearly trying to reference like, oh, he said the thing, right? And it doesn't sound the same when Chris Evans says it. So I'm curious about that.
I actually like the fact they did that because it's like when you watch a movie and then they have the sound alike in the actual toys and it's like not quite the same, but it's kind of the same. So for me, that rings true that because you never get the same voice actor in like the spinoffs that are like the animated series and the video games and like the toys, like they aren't the same. I didn't have Tom Hanks has his brother Jim doing like the voices for the voice for the Woody stuff in like the toys, and it is just really funny. So I mean, it rings true for me on that meta
level.
But yeah. Anyways, I'm also excited about the other two projects. Zootopia was amazing. Zootopia is so good. So I'm down for a sequel. Yeah,
I hope it's about the same leads, though. I mean, they have the show. Did the show already come out and I just didn't watch it?
The show wasn't great. It was basically just it was a bunch of cute shorts that kind of honestly ruined the movie.
Yeah, while you're talking about it, I would want a sequel about the same two characters.
Yeah.
How'd they ruin the movie?
It was like this thing where, you know how in the movie, Judy says goodbye to her parents and goes off in the train. I had this whole subplot where their youngest kid snuck on the train and the parents were like scrambling around the train with Judy kind of in the background, not noticing, and them like trying to get the baby. And at the very end,
when Judy
got off on the train, her parents were like right there. And then they're like, okay, now we got to go back home. They were there the whole time. And it's just weird. I just don't like it.
Okay.
I mean, it's harmless. So it's harmless and it's stupid that I'm thinking that, but it is what it is.
My kids were watching it and I would like come in and out of it, them watching the show. And so I completely missed that one. Maybe I'll have to go back and watch that.
It's the first one. And Frozen 3, I'm on board for because the second one sucked and there's still potential in it.
Save the trilogy. Tell 4 and 5.
Yeah, like the first one I love. I love the first Frozen. I think it's such a good movie. And the second one is just hot, wet garbage. Second one's so bad. It's so disappointing. I do not like that movie at all. And hoping that they could bring more to it. Like, because that trailer that they released for the second one, I was like, oh, shit's getting real. It's getting real. And then no stakes. No story, almost. It was bizarre. I don't understand how that happened. Well, but actually, I do understand, because if you watch the documentary on Disney Plus, one thing I love about documentary, if the making of Frozen, whatever the hell it's called, it digs into like the nitty gritty stuff. It's not like this thing where a bunch of actors and creatives are just like saying nice things about each other in a circle jerk. It's very much just sort of like, oh, shit's going bad and we don't understand what's going on. Oh, we're up against the wire and this is difficult and I'm losing sleep and pissing blood and da 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 da. Like, not literally that, but pretty much that whole idea of the creative process and how brutal it can be. So if you like actual documentaries documenting, you know, the difficulty of the creative process, I highly recommend it, even though the movie ended up not being very good. So.
Yeah, no thanks. Rather not watch a documentary about a mediocre movie. Although I think I would probably watch a documentary about a very terrible movie, like just a train wreck of a movie. Like, how did this happen? That'd be more interesting to me. I'd watch that. You got one of those?
Not off the top of my head, no.
Okay, then moving on.
There's the Last Jedi.
So,
wait,
did, so do we comment really quick on Bob Chapek, not Bob Chapek, Bob Iger's 7K people that he's firing, right?
Yeah, that he's go letting ahead. Go. What you got?
I just think the one thing I like, not about that. That's bad news. That sucks. It is what yeah. it is.
Let's retool that sentence.
But the main thing what I like is his bringing fucking power capitals. Back to the creative folks within the organization. So when Bob Chapek took over, it was a nightmare. He kind of had everyone get funneled in through one guy, Kareem Daniel, I believe was his name. So just a suit who's saying, this is green light, this is not, this is green light, this is not, essentially giving a non-creative too much power, you know? And I hate it when you don't have creatives without power to actually make these decisions, because it's based purely off of just nothing. They know nothing about it. And the fact that he's bringing power back to the creatives, I think really shows what was different in his era of Disney versus what Chapek was turning Disney into.
So let me ask you a question about that. One of the discussion points in the articles that talk about this, talk about a reorganization. Is that what they're talking about? Because they talked about it as core business reorganization.
That's part of it.
So it sounds like that's a multi-tiered thing. There's
well,
a
I mean, core... it's part of it. You have the Disney Entertainment, you have ESPN, and then you have yeah. Disney Parks. I honestly don't know those other two parks that much. That's not really what I focus on personally, but I do know that the stuff that's happening at Disney, quote unquote, the Disney Entertainment segment, is putting creatives back into decision-making positions so that they can decide, this goes to theaters, this goes to streaming. We're making this explicitly for this type of thing. That way, honestly, I know morale was really low with Chapek because he would take the really big $100 million, $200 million projects and throw them onto streamer like, bah, whatever, we don't care. And just anger a lot of people and really just destroy morale at the studios. So hopefully this will help at least remedy that aspect of it and get people fired up and ready to make some cool stuff.
Fired.
Okay. Nick, do you like the 7,000 people being fired like Jammer?
No, but I did read a fantastic tweet this week. You know, the article's like titled Disney Announces Toy Story 4, Frozen 3, Zootopia 2, and 7,000 layoffs. And someone tweeted like, do you have to see the first 6,999 layoffs to understand the 700th?
7,000th, but I got it.
7,000th? You get me. Numbers.
Toy Story 5.
Mm,
okay. That's right. Well, that's cool. Anything else on this? Otherwise, we can move on to AMC and their weird electric AMCA. Boogaloo with seats.
You worked at AMC, right, Nick?
Yeah, I did.
All right, cool. We'll get your insight in a moment.
I have lots of movie theater
all
insight.
Right. So we've got some new seating arrangements at AMC. So they are going to change movie ticket prices based on location. Not necessarily the quality of the seat, right? Not the leg room, not the back room. We're not talking about any of those things. We're just talking about where you physically are in the room. So this is coming from Variety. There are three different seat options. The first one is called Standard Sightline. And this is described as seats that are the most common in auditoriums and are available for the traditional cost of a ticket. That's for the everyman or woman. There are the value sightline.
I hate this fucking marketing speak. About like, let's go ahead and take these normal seats and just start spinning them in different creative
ways.
Wait,
let me get.
Sorry.
Calm down. Let me get to the thing.
Okay.
Jeez. Then there's a value sightline, referred to as seats in the front row of the auditorium, as well as select ADA seats in each auditorium, and are available at a lower price than standard sightline seats. The third option. Preferred sightline, which are seats in the middle of the auditorium and are priced at a premium to standard sightline seats. AMC Stubbs A-list members will be able to reserve seats at a preferred sightline section at no additional cost. Jammer, you're hot under the collar, and so I'm gonna let you cool off. Nick Dahl, give me some thoughts and feelings and insights.
This has been coming for a long time. They were talking about this at Cinemark when I was there for like 5 years ago, over 5 years ago. And it was Danny's the one. I know Danny said this, but when Danny referenced it, he basically said what you said before in the chat, right? Jonesy, we're like, they have that over in Dubai, but there it is based on, you know, seat distance, like cup holders, like seats that go back and forth.
Yeah, it's like the metric system. It exists everywhere in the world except the United States.
Okay. Interesting.
Kyle's checking our chat. No, but the point is Danny was saying that it was a different way. It's not based on where your seat's located. It literally is based on the quality of the seat.
It's like it's like airlines where you know you have the where the squeezing between like the amount of leg space or lean back ability or whatever. Chill space and as
this,
it were.
Like this is terrible. I mean, I knew we were heading this way. Basically, the seats I would sit in are in the plus $2 section or whatever, like Prime's sight. I hate they call it Sightline too. That just makes it sound worse. But okay. Kyle was typing something else unrelated to that. That's fine.
Nick, you could ignore that. You could ignore that, Nick, and not mention that on the podcast.
Sorry, it was right in the front of my face.
It's like the guy reading the stage direction during a play.
Nick enters. Nick speaks, continued. It just seems like it's a big step in the wrong direction. People are making fun of it the same way where Netflix is like, oh no, we accidentally announced we didn't mean to put an announcement out there about the shared password sharing, and then they took it down. Now they have it back up again. People are like, maybe we can bully AMC into stop doing it. It's a terrible decision. It's very smart. They tied it into their movie pass or whatever they called over at AMC, Stubbs, A-List. Yeah. Which is something all the theaters have also been trying to get perfected since I've been there. And I don't know. I really like what Elijah Wood said about it, where he literally called it a caste system. Where it's like, oh, someone who makes less money take their kids to the movie has to sit in the front row there. They can't watch it. Whereas someone who has
penalizes
more
people for
job,
lower income.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just people are comparing it to like Ticketmaster, you know, just every negative thing. And I think it's an age when theaters should be trying to get more people to go. They're alienating a lot of people who won't want to go now and who already aren't going. But they're also trying to make more. I don't know. It's weird. Trying to make more money by being like, Nick, you have to pay $2 extra or $1 for the seat you would always pick. But then
they're
punishing
people who are already going.
Yeah. But then the other time they're like, hey,
make the product more attractive to attract new people.
But it's interesting. It is interesting the way they did it though, where it's like rather than raising their prices like plus $1 for not the front row and plus $2, you know, for the better seats. They're like, hey, you can save $1 if you break your neck. So they've kind of trying to show it both ways, but I've met anyone who's happy with it.
And who doesn't like it both ways? So unsurprisingly, Frodo Baggins jumping in for the little guy trying to say like, yeah, if you make lower income, they're going to fuck you. So on that point, Jammer, I guess I have a question for you. One, have you calmed down? You like,
no,
you're good.
I'm still livid.
You're still fired. Yeah. You're still fired. Okay. So in addition to your thoughts, the other question I have, we have this in other areas, right? You go to a concert, you go to a basketball game, you go to a baseball game, you pay different prices based on where you sit without any necessarily discernible difference in your actual seat. What do you think about this as compared to that?
It's not comparable in my mind because those are like experiences in real places with real people and how close you are to those real places and real people as opposed to just sitting in front of a TV. I mean, yeah, I'm downplaying it. Obviously, it's like a projection and it's better quality than that. But yeah, no, it's just I don't see it as maybe the only thing I could say is maybe lower those first two rows dollars. And keep the rest of it the same. Do that instead. That's the only way I could justify this is if they just lower the price of those seats that I think we all agree aren't quite as good. So I don't like it at all. Like, cause it's not that discernible of a difference to be like a little bit on the right in the middle versus the middle. And it's not the same as you would be like at a concert or like when I was at the theater. When I was at the theater last week watching a play, I bought the tickets last minute. They were relatively cheap. They were near the front, but they were shown as limited viewing. So I didn't realize this till I got there. So you have the stage. So I'm trying to think, how do I block this here? So you have the stage and you have my dumbass sitting right here, kind of off to the side a little bit. And I'm thinking, oh, the stage is right here. The people are running around here. That's a great seat. However, the stage is deep and I'm kind of slightly off to the side. So I kind of don't see everything. Granted, they did a good job in blocking it. So all of the main action happens where I can see it. But still, you kind of feel like I'm missing something back there. Same thing with those sports games. It's like you don't quite get the same experience at a different angle. Whereas in the movie theaters, mostly you get the same experience. I think it's a bunch of BS and they should be trying to find ways to make the experience better, like what Alamo Drafthouse does, where they make it a whole dining experience, or, you know, better drinks, better food, better service, better something.
But that prices people out as well, because if you increase the quality and or quantity.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Of service, goods serviced, then you need to increase prices. The bad thing is all solutions essentially for theaters only look like they're going to price out the little guy in
not
some
necessarily
ways, at least
you can go to the theater and not get a food. You can still get a ticket that's mostly the same
price.
Yeah,
but who does that?
People aren't.
But you can. People who
but
can't
people
afford
aren't.
It, Jonesy.
Then you then
but
people
never done
go.
It. They never done
with,
it.
With that, Jammer, with that exactly what you just said, the overwhelming majority of the seats are not going up in pricing. So if it is, just do it like you just said, because you can't afford the food, just do it, just the movie, then just sit off center.
No, my point is this, is I don't like when they take away value. That's BS.
I'm not
disagreeing.
I don't
value.
Think this is the best move forward, but making all theaters a premium experience will price people out as well. If you turn everything into a powered chair, everything is a dine and watch, everything has a premium size screen, you got to make up those costs. That's what this is. This is trying to make up the cost for our consumption methods having changed so drastically, so quickly. I don't, like I said, I'm not agreeing that this is the best. It might end up being the best where you still offer the experience in general for most people at no additional cost. But let's face it, there are people that love to pay for a premium seat, even if they don't really get any real difference of an experience.
I don't think anyone's gonna love.
You know what's funny about this?
No, there are people. That's like a
people
psychological
have,
thing that they've
people
tested.
Would have
yeah.
less of a problem with this if they just increase prices across the board.
I was gonna just say that, Jonesy. As they just increase prices, which they already
well.
Do.
Yep. But I think they're playing off of that psychology of offering someone. People like to feel like they're better than the people around them. Like whether it's overtly that type or they're just subconsciously that, you know what, I've got an extra dollar, why not, I deserve it, you know, I'll have that fine spot and someone else won't. I think that's what they're trying to play off of a bit. I think they're overplaying on that, but the point is theaters have got to find a way to make up the gap in people being willing to wait because it'll hit streaming in 2 months
and
three,
the revenue they
months.
Lost during COVID
that as well too. Well, absolutely.
Well, that's why
I
have
a question.
AMC,
what would happen?
AMC
what happens...
was saved though by what's it called, by Reddit in 2021. Yeah. I think it was, they were saved and they still fumbled it. Their freaking stock went way the hell up. They made so much money, and now I feel like their stock is close to where it was when they almost went bankrupt last time. But it's not exactly the same. It's a few bucks more, but still, they still bungled it. They had all of that cash to lay on and couldn't find up with a better solution a year and change later.
Well, they could have used that extra cash to upgrade their equipment.
Yeah.
Here's a question.
Yeah, I know, right?
What happens if you buy a non-premium seat and let's say it's either a matinee show or a not heavily attended show and you move? Is that problematic? Do you get in trouble for that?
No. I mean, having worked at a movie theater, you know, everyone's been buying reserved seats from most of our theaters for a long time. And in fact, I can't remember the last time I've been to a movie theater that didn't have the raised seats too, because movie theaters have been investing a lot in that. But the thing is, like, unless there is literally someone complaining, there's someone in my seat because it's sold out. It's not like first of all, we're not hiring enough people, especially on a weekday, to go around being like, hey, that's not your seat. Second of all, you're not paying those people enough to walk up to someone and be like, we're not going to look at a seating chart.
We get the idea, Nick. We get it.
Also, it's dumb.
Also, for the sight line, it is only for shows after 4 p.m.
Because they know
matinees, your early summer movies, all of that, regular pricing for all the seats. So, like
even
I said,
on
weekends? This might... it just says after 4 p.m. Is not applicable to Discount Tuesdays. So Discount Tuesdays will for now remain $5 movie tickets. Like I said, I don't necessarily think this is the answer, but I don't think it's as bad as a lot of people are making it out to be, especially when
I don't like it's a slippery slope.
You're not supposed to like that.
All the other people are gonna start falling in line. They're like, oh shit!
Oh, the other
AMC did it.
The other chain.
Yes. Oh, we're gonna do
yes.
it.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, that's what happens. I don't like it.
Why do you think we're
Homie
in this?
Don't like
why
that.
Do you think we're
Homie
in
don't
this situation
play that.
In the first place? Everyone followed the streaming.
We're
trend,
saying. We're saying. We're saying 4 p.m. We're saying 4 p.m. is like, oh, that's not so bad.
It's
and all
be
of a
like,
sudden, it's every day,
no,
all
no, no,
day.
No, hold
Tightwad
on, hold
Tuesdays
on.
Are
it's
not safe be, anymore, Kyle.
It's going to be like old cell phone services, and you're going to be trying to outmaneuver each other with how early their non-sightline sightline.
Three nights and weekends, baby.
Exactly. That's what we're going to get. Your sightline starts later with this subscription service. No, that whole we're here because of subscription services.
Well,
that would be a hell of a thing if AMC Stubbs was like, hey, here's your benefit for being a Stubbs member. And it was something like that.
But it's part of, yeah, like we said, it is tied into Stubbs. It's being A-lister.
Okay.
Stubbs. But again, like, I don't know. This is why I gave up the chains a while ago. I knew this stuff was coming. I'm lucky
Alamo
to live close to an
this
Alamo.
This is the reason you gave up the chains because of
Big
this.
Chain.
You saw this was coming. This was
Alamo Draft House
this is the thing that did it.
The Alamo Draft House is the chain, but it's. They've already put out their tweet claiming they'll never do it, and also reminding people that they have TBD Tuesday, so TFB, whatever it stands for.
No one cares about
big fucking discount Tuesdays. But
okay,
yeah. All right. Let's all rely on the promise of a corporation as we move on to the next story. You guys, ready to talk about Spider-Man Noir?
Spider Noir,
yeah.
Jesus Christ, yes, maybe. Jesus, what's wrong with you all? Anyway, Spider-Man and Amazon are teaming up. So this is the second property that's going to allegedly be hitting Amazon. So Silk Spider Society is the other one. We don't know a lot about this one. This is what we know about the character. This is based on Spider-Man Noir, who debuted in 2009. And this is going to be a Superman who is in 1930s New
Spider-Man.
York. Who, what'd I say?
Superman. You switched to Superman.
Did I say Superman?
Yeah.
Man, got that legacy on the brain. Anyway, we've got Spider-Man in 1930s New York City, and he was bitten by a spider and saw a spider god and now has spider-like powers. This was developed in conjunction with Phil Lord and Chris Miller, who are Into the Spider-Verse guys, which is probably the only thing that has me interested in this, because the person that's going to serve as writer and executive producer on it is Oren Uzel, He's got some interesting credits. He did the screenplay for The Lost City, 22 mm-hmm. Jump Street. He worked on that, as well as 2021 Mortal Kombat and The Cloverfield Paradox. So it gets a little dicey in there. And, you know, the other stuff that he has that hasn't come out is John Wick 4 and Borderlands. So this could be hit or miss, because other than that, we don't know who's starring in it. We don't know, like, what the budget is going to be for this project. So, Jammer, are you excited? Do you care at all about Spider-Man Black?
I am excited because I think there's a lot of room to go really weird and off the wall and crazy and dark and gritty. You can go in any direction with this story and have any sort of weird tone with it. I'm interested to see who they would get as this particular iteration of Peter Parker and how that's going to overall work. And Jonesy, you're very happy. We'll talk about that in a second as to why. And as far as Oren Uziel and his whole situation, I think I've said this before, Nick agrees, where it's really, really hard to gauge a writer's talent in Hollywood, especially if they've only worked on relatively big projects. And I guess Lost City and 22 Jump Street, they're not the biggest, but, you know, they're Hollywood productions. And Mortal Kombat, I don't know. Cloverfield, I don't know. Like, these are big projects with lots of cooks in the kitchen who could have tossed out lots of great stuff and added their own stuff in between, or they were writing at the direction of a specific vision. So I don't know what to expect from this person, but I think there's a lot of great potential for what a Spider-Man noir could be if they just kind of say, hey, let's just let it be what it is. Let's let the creators go crazy and go full on noir. I think it could be fun. So I'm excited just because it gives an avenue for something really weird and really creative.
It's great. I've spent 40 minutes vamping so we could talk about Fast 10.
Wait, do you want to talk about that's
what this entire show is?
Let's finish this topic first.
Nick, come on, let's go. Let's hear it. What do you got, Nick?
I'll keep it super short. If Phil Miller and Chris Lord were not involved, I would have no faith in Sony. There you go.
All right.
Okay.
There we go. All right. We're all gonna click. You guys ready?
It's loading.
Hold on. Chill out. So I need everyone to load this trailer onto your screens. Make sure, give me one second. I'm trying to get this to, let's see. Will that work?
So we know the title of this is going to be Fast 10 Trailer Live Reaction, right? Or something along those lines.
Something like that.
That's if that doesn't hit.
Everyone just have the slider all the way over. I'm going to say 3, 2, 1, play.
Which slider?
When I say play, first off, play. Is everyone past your ad?
The ad, they probably stuck at the beginning.
Baby. Okay. I don't sit in the AMC cheap seats. I got YouTube premium, baby.
I'm currently using my premium until tomorrow, my premium trial.
That's fine. So I will say 3, 2, 1, play, click play. And that way this will be in the window for your guys' show.
Okay. I'm getting my overreaction face ready.
All right.
All right. Here we go. I got this.
You guys ready? All right, three.
Yeah,
count us in.
3, 2, 1, play.
Oh, there's a house. It's the house.
Shut up.
It's a difficult road.
We're around the table. Old lady.
Every day is a winding road. They're not afraid of anything. God, he's acting up a storm right now.
Oh shit!
God, he looks so old.
Is that his kid? Wait, I don't remember who's that.
That's probably his kid.
Ooh, Aquaman.
Oh,
Lobo already with his bike. Beautiful life filled with love
and family. I never got that chance. Brazil.
Oh, and like, is Paul Walker in that? It's because it's an old scene.
Oh,
yeah.
He was there
it's an
the
old
whole time.
Scene from Fast Five.
He was there the whole time.
It's a retcon. Is that his dad?
He's like, I was going to steal that safe.
Oh, no. I think he worked for him. Piece
by piece. That was
They're
not very
back
hygienic.
To the Whoa.
There's all sorts of bloodborne diseases out there.
Right?
He's baning it. He just blows
so
out
they're
shit.
Doing the Tokyo Drift thing again where they're going back in time to an older movie and saying, like, here's the thing.
It's Captain Marvel. And Peacemaker, I forgot was in this franchise because I haven't seen it.
It's not good.
One of us might not come back. Are they setting us up for a loss?
I'll believe it when I see it. I think she meant to say one of us is coming back from this, and that's going to be Gal Gadot.
Whoa, Indiana Jones boulder.
Oh my god.
What is that, Death Star?
This movie looks awesome.
Oh, he's Captain America-ing it. He's trying to tear us
apart. That looked like Reacher. Winning used to be about winning. We raced for
respect. Today, I raced to stop the bloodbath. Oh god, I'm embarrassed. That gave me chills. Is that bad?
Here we go. Let's race. John Cena is very silent during this trailer.
Stay through.
Oh, he's back! He's back!
I can't believe they got two Hobbs, two Shaw back.
No, they don't have Shaw back. Or Hobbs. I'm glad we're finally getting a Shaw and Han scene.
Oh, shit.
Oh, my God. I hate how much I love this. I hate everything about this myself right now. Oh, look at that.
This actually looks kind of like a Mission Impossible movie, more than the other ones do.
Shut the fuck up.
Oh, no. Dom's dead, guys.
Ooh. Oh!
I hate myself so much.
Whoa. Good morning, sunshine. You gotta be kidding me. The end of the road legend begins.
The end of the road begins.
Not the
Sorry,
legend of
read.
The road.
This is actually a prequel to what's it called? I was gonna call it Road Warrior. What the hell is that actually called? Mad Max?
Yeah.
So I hate everything about myself. That you all literally sweaty. Saw me just like transform from someone who just didn't care to someone who got chills when Dom said a really cheesy line.
I'm going to say something really terrible here. I'm glad we got to experience that without Danny, because he just would have brought down my high talking about how much you Jammer, you allowed yourself to just love and enjoy.
Let the trailer have its way with me.
Just let it happen.
It threw me up against the wall. And it got a little rough, but I'm okay with it. Sometimes I like it a little rough. So I love two things in this trailer. First of all, I hate to say this. Sometimes I feel like this series franchise brings the worst out of all the actors. And just seeing, what's his name? Jason Momoa turn and goes, "You don't choose who you get to save." Just the way he delivered it with his like hunched shoulders. So awkward. But I don't care. What I liked about it was that it seems like we're at least getting a somewhat climactic moment where it's just like a normal, like Too Fast, Too Furious style race. And I'm there for it. We'll see if it actually happens later on in the story. I hope it does. Man. I hope that's the climax. I would love it if that's the final race. And that's the end of the movie. It probably isn't, but yeah. I'm too excited for this movie right now. And I hate myself for it, but I'll allow it.
It's crazy how old they look. So in that opening scene going around the table, because, you know, this franchise is like, what, at this point, what, 20, 23 years old? That's just nuts. I feel so nostalgic watching all these old scenes, like looking at the house, looking at the cars. I'm so excited for this movie. I can barely articulate.
And it was so cheesy too. There's so many parts where I'm
like,
"Oh,
cheesy." But that's what makes this great. I think for me, I think the hardest thing is not seeing Brian anywhere. Like, I'm glad he's in the trailer, but to know that all of this stuff is happening in the world for all of these movies and he's just not a part of it, I don't know how they're going to keep explaining that, you know, especially at the point where Dom's kid is being kidnapped.
I tell you what, they're not going to explain it well. They're not going
to
explain it well
at all. Like,
there's a Nordic strain in, you know, the Toretto family line, and I never
would have guessed that there's any whiteness in you know, Vin Diesel. To me, he's the brownest of the brown of us.
Of all like the things they choose not to explain.
And then also the way they explained Han made no sense. They may as well have not explained it. Made no sense. But this looks good.
So is Gal Gadot coming back?
That being said, I've heard rumors.
I thought they have a picture even of her or something.
Do they have a picture? Okay, I've heard pictures.
Set photo. I thought they released some kind of...
I mean, I've heard not of set photos. I mean, I don't know.
No.
I don't remember. I've heard talk of that.
The last one I've seen is Fast Five. Me and my roommate are going to watch all of them. This looked awesome. It gives me more of a reason to watch all of them. And it reminded me of the Fast Five trailer more than any of the other trailers we've seen where it's like, oh no, now we're like in space.
It showed you a scene.
I mean, in general, the action, while ridiculous, resembled something closer to Fast Five and not like, and now we're like in a flying car. Or now we're driving next to a submarine.
I also think I saw two helicopters with a freaking jump off of a freeway. Well, so I'm not sure if it's too
that reminded
far
me
from that.
Of my favorite Fast movie, Hobbs and Shaw, where The Rock was holding a helicopter to a car when the
chain came up. That movie sucks. So, and that's actually one thing I'm worried about is because I remember being so excited for Hobbs and Shaw and being so upset when that movie was just terrible.
Yeah.
I find it funny that Fast 10 goes back to Fast 5, and I'm curious if that's on purpose.
What do you mean?
Because it's half
of it.
Because
it's doubled?
Yeah. Like, we're going to go back to the fifth one. For 10, we're going to go back to 5.
I mean, they like to find ways to freaking layer themselves on top of each other. I mean, look what they did just to incorporate Vin Diesel back into Fast 3 or to Tokyo Drift. Just like how, 4, 5, and 6 were all prequels to 3. It was really weird. Yeah, I don't know. They love to layer in on themselves like that.
Very storied franchise.
Very storied franchise. Story, but I feel like, I will say, in the beginning, me being like, who's that? I do kind of get a similar Mission Impossible vibe where I don't remember anything at all from any of the other movies. And I'm just like, whatever. Well, because I was like, is that Dom's kid? Because that kid is dark. And I don't, if it's him, Michelle Rodriguez, I don't know who. Oh, no, it was him and that one
girl.
It's
not Michelle Rodriguez.
But she wasn't black either.
Yeah, it's Elena Nevis.
Your biggest concern
she wasn't,
that you've brought up.
Well,
are you doing the Charlize Theron thing? You're doing the Charlize Theron thing. We literally just talked about this. We literally just
know.
Talked about this.
But that kid is so
I
dark.
I never would have expected that there was
parents.
A Negro strain in the Toretto family. That's you. That's you right now.
All right,
two of the things Jammers brought up about this trailer is skin tone. And it's for different characters. I think that's his main fascination.
Well, it's just so weird.
So, yeah, I think it's apparent from the trailer that Jason Momoa is some sort of relation to Hernan Reyes from 5, either like a cousin or a son or something like that. So that's going to be fun getting that back. Again, going back to the fact that we don't have Brian in this, it's going to be interesting that we have a character that was so instrumental to probably the downfall of Momoa's life. And just he's going to be absent from the movie. So that sucks. But we'll see what happens. I'm excited for it. I'm curious who else from the Fast family we're going to get back that we didn't see in the trailer. Because that's actually
they included a lot of people. They included a lot. They included everybody who's still kicking.
It was a long ass trailer.
I mean, I'm still waiting to get Eva Mendes back.
Oh yeah.
Eva Mendes, Don Omar. They could just keep going.
Do it all
good times.
For that. Maybe this will be like the Infinity War where everyone's in it. And
what about
cut the cast a little bit for part two? Or
what's that?
Fast
that
woman XI or whatever.
Who's in Fast Two or Too Fast with Ludacris?
That was Eva Mendes.
Yeah, that was Eva Mendes.
No. The Asian woman who was also in Sin City.
Oh, I don't know her name.
I think Aoki's her last name.
Aoki, Devin Aoki.
Yeah, what if she comes back? I don't know if she's done anything recently, but bring her back.
I just want everybody to come back. Listen, by the end of this franchise, I want them to have another table in that backyard. Be like, okay, we need another table. And just like, just everybody from the franchise.
They say that, I like it. And then The Rock's like, you guys said another table, and he carries in a giant table and slams it down. And they all sit down and have dinner as a family.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like a fast ending if I've ever heard it.
Yeah. That way they can still have The Rock in there
I got
but
nothing
not
else.
Having the same scene as Jason Statham. So they
don't all right, let's move on. I only have a few minutes left, and I know we have who watches.
I feel like we don't have to do questions.
I feel like that's our entree right there.
That's it.
We're done. Yeah, we could stop.
That was the main course. All right,
timing. I am so proud of you guys.
Are you though?
Congrats. Congrats, everyone. We did
it. I want to thank my insider at Universal for releasing that trailer exactly when it needed to come at the end of the show.
I told Jammer, I was like, listen, this is the only reason I'm here today. I was like, there's a possibility. This might drop while we're podcasting. He's like, of course it will.
It was worth it.
So,
it was worth it.
It was worth it. All right. So, folks, as always, do all the socials. Like, rate, comment, subscribe, share. We would definitely appreciate it. Also, LRM Online has other great programs on the website as well as the Genreverse Podcast Network. Kyle, thanks for doing your thing on the ones and twos.
You're welcome.
Cameron, Nick, everybody knows where you guys can be found, right? Like, you guys are good. Yeah, yeah. We're all
it's on the video. It's in the description. No one follows me anyway. That's good.
Aw. Some people follow you. Some people follow you.
Bots.
But lots other than that, we will catch you on the next one. Hasta lasagna for next week. Ant-Man and the Wasp. Quantumania. So exciting. Let's do it.
That Quantumania sploosh on you. You already said your hasta lasagna bit. I had that on the don't get any on you bit.
Okay then. Good episode, guys.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.